Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Give Jackie that mic, please. I guess yesterday it was a gay pride march here in town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We love everyone, no matter what their condition in life. But we also have to recognize that there are people that are speaking for our city that are not speaking on our behalf. But if we stay silent, well, then they're left to speak for us, and we cannot allow that. Just share as you.
So I just believe that there is a spirit of love is love no matter what you love, or no matter how you love, or who you love. Again, we love like Christ loved. So we love people, but we do not love the sin that is occurring. And so I really just feel that we need to come together as a congregation. Again, we love like Christ loved. Okay? We give of ourselves like Christ gave of himself. However, we do not tolerate sin. So we can separate the two. We can love a person, but we can not tolerate the sin that they are walking in. So again, I feel that we just need to come together as a congregation and come against the spirit of I can love whomever, whatever item, whatever, you know, goes on. But it's evil. We cannot allow evilness in our city. Again, please hear me that we love like Christ loves. Okay? But we don't tolerate evilness in our city. So Holy Spirit, right now, we come to you and we ask you to cause us to continue to love like you love. But we come against the spirit and the idea of I can love whomever I feel like because, well, love is love. That's not the case.
Yeah, let me make an adjustment right here, okay? Because we might confuse the terms. The truth is, it's not love. A man, we're talking about desire, okay? Homosexuality is evil. Not because we say it is. We don't have a choice in the matter. God has been very specific throughout the Word of God, both in Old Testament and in New Testament. God has underscored. You say, well, he only mentions it once or twice. How many times your father said to you, do I need to tell you again? And how many know that there were even more severe consequences when he had to tell you the second time? Right? So go ahead and minister to that.
So, Lord, we ask for your guidance in this, that you assist us, you lead us in the path of dealing with the spirit of desire to love in a way that is ungodly. Mm-hmm. But you also give us the love in our heart in loving the godly way and showing your love to others. I know this is a complicated concept. I do realize. So again, we love everyone as Christ loves, but we do not tolerate the desire of evil love.
Yeah. I just want to be very clear. I love, and I love big. And regardless of sin, I love. That has to be our statement, right? And so we don't curse people. We want them blessed, right? But how many of you know that God doesn't bless homosexuality? God does not bless transgenderism. God does not bless the whole marring of one's identity. And listen, some of you here have struggled with that as an issue. Don't raise your hands. That's not what we're talking about. Some of us. Look, let me make a very clear statement here. We want sinners to come to this place. Y'all hear me? We want people with struggles to come here. We want people that are in search of Jesus to come in this place without condition. Jesus never asked anyone to get their lives right before coming, right? We're not looking for anyone to do that. What we're looking for is showing people Jesus and letting him transform their lives. Are you with me? Bang your hands together. You with me? All right. Now listen. Because you have had a homosexual desire, or because you have desired to dress like the opposite sex or something like that, because you have desired that does not make you evil. Now listen to me on this. What makes your behavior evil is when you give in to that. Listen, people, the enemy is going to bring evil desires to you and offer them to you. Just because you have a desire to do evil does not make you evil. Do you understand that? What makes evil is when you yield to those kind of thoughts. Are you with me? Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. I'm saying that for particular people here. What you desire does not define you. What you give into will. Yes. If I give into righteousness, that will define me. If I give in to evil, that will define me. Are you with me? Yes. And God, he's given us the instruction concerning homosexuality, concerning our identity, concerning the desires of our heart. He's given us very clear instruction for the purpose of bringing about our highest and best. Okay? And so... The word of God is very clear. If you have any questions, if you, for whatever reason, you disagree with me, for example, that homosexuality is sin, I would say, come, let's sit down and reason together. Okay? Let's come together and let's have a conversation. And let Holy Spirit be in the midst of us and let Holy Spirit lead us. I have on a number of occasions gone back to Holy Spirit, more than I would like to count, go back to Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, look, if I'm wrong on this, if my understanding is wrong, please show me. Show me your way. Show me your truth, not what someone's saying is true, not even what I believed was true, but what you're saying is true. And on every occasion, he's get back and he said, I haven't changed my mind, I haven't changed my word, and I'm not about to. I want your highest and best. And this is how you receive it. Are you with me? This is not a comfortable subject, but it has to be said. It is important for us. If no one speaks out on behalf of righteousness, righteousness will not be heard. If no one pushes back and turns the light on when darkness is present, then there will be no light. We must be light into this world. Amen? We must have an answer for those things that the world is seeking with questions. We can't just shrink back and hide within the four walls of the church and say, you know, well, that's sin. And look, don't point out someone's sin unless you're willing to walk it out with them. All right? Like, don't rail against someone who's struggling with homosexuality and not be willing to walk it out with them. I've walked it out with people. Okay? And so that's why I feel that I have some ability to sit here and talk with you, because I've walked this out with a number of pastors who have struggled in that regard. And I've seen them get free. And yeah, I know all the pushback, but I'm just telling you, there is freedom and there is great joy. All right? All right. That's not what we're slated to talk about today. But that needed to be said. Thank you, Jax, for being sensitive to Holy Spirit. I was having a conversation with Janice and my sons this week. We actually had a number of conversations. And Caleb said, in observation, he said, Dad, he said, it seems to me, because he heard me talking to one of my spiritual brothers and saying about when the gathering comes, we're going to get some hangout time. And I said, there's as much kingdom business done in times when we hang out as there is in times when we're having a meeting, right? And those are important times. And so so Caleb said, you know, it struck me that a lot of the times when Jesus was with his disciples, it was sitting around eating dinner, right? Or sitting around a campfire, or walking on the road, or it wasn't necessarily at the synagogue, right? And Caleb was kind of making the observation that where is God taking the church? Where is he leading us? Because we all agree we haven't arrived yet, right? We agree we are not in the ideal condition that God intends for us to become. We're good for right now. Yes? Maybe you think we're not. I don't know. But I think we're okay right now. Otherwise, he would change us. But what's it going to look like? What does he intend? Where is he taking us? And again, Caleb made I think a very good observation. He said, but Dad, he said, to me it seems like it's family. Spiritual family. Now we say that, and we kind of like the concept until we have to deal with the crazy uncle. Right? Don't point. Yeah. Don't point at anyone at the gathering. But you know, there are different circles of family. For us, even in my immediate family, I have a couple circles. I have Janice and the boys that we live together in the same house, right? And then I have Jackie and James and their family, and Ben and Jessica and their family. They're part of our immediate family, but they don't live in our house anymore, so that's another circle, right? I'm speaking just naturally. And then I have my mom that lives half quarter mile away, and Janice's mom that lives a ways off. And then we have aunts and uncles, right? A bigger circle. And then, like, second cousin once removed. Like, you know who I'm saying. And it just goes out bigger, right? Now, we in our house, we get together on a pretty regular basis. We try to eat meals at least a couple times a day together. Breakfast usually and dinner. On the weekends, we'll have lunch together sometimes. But there's family business that's oftentimes done around the table. You with me? around the table is a real important time. That's why one of the high points of our Christian walk is when we take communion. That is to be the table of the Lord. And sometimes we've taken communion here where we literally have had a table set up here. We all kind of sat down and we had like loaves and loaves of bread. And we had cups of juice and we've even been bold enough to have some real wine here at some times. I won't tell you where it's from. Might have been from Chapel Hill Wines. Yeah. Jackie's like, shameless advertisement. Yeah. No. But it was so fun. Because we're sitting around the table and we're going and grabbing bread and we're getting some juice and or wine or whatever it is. And we're eating and we're being family. And I think that's supposed to be what we're to be. Not just in the immediate sense, in the, you know, me and my four and no more. How many have you seen this new series out? It's been out for actually a year or two, called The Chosen. How many have seen it, actually seen it? Let me see your hands. If you've seen it and think it should be watched by everyone, not just believers, but everyone, put your hand up. Yeah, look at that. Everyone who's seen it says, look, I recommend to not unbelievers to watch this series because they'll get a dose of who Jesus is and who his disciples were. Janice and I watched, right before we went to bed last night, we watched in season two, I think it was episode 3. And it gave a glimpse of the disciples. And like the disciples were, do you know they had doubts? Do you know they had fears? Do you know they weren't like, okay, Jesus, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it with all of my heart, and I'm never going to mess up. And it wasn't like that at all. Matter of fact, some weren't even sure that they should be following Jesus. You ever felt that way? No, you never. I think we need to talk about this stuff. I think we need to not come in here and then leave and that's it. I'm pretty heavily entrenched in a lot of your lives. But I can understand that maybe you come in and you'd like to have conversation with people, but you know, there are people talking with the ones they know. You know, I'll use Caleb for an example. He went to a couple graduation parties and he said they were good, but you know, everyone was talking to the people they know. And they didn't, there wasn't a whole lot of breaking out of that. And that causes me a little bit of concern here. We give opportunity to sit around the table at times. And look, I get busyness of life, but I'm also, I know where God wants to take us. Let me say it this way. I think I know where God wants to take us, and that looks very different than we look right now. This whole reboot thing is about reprioritizing our priorities individually and as City Church. That God is, if you look at priorities as like stones in our foundation, he's pulling all the stones out and he's either polishing them up and putting them back, adjusting them, moving them to another place, or taking them out completely and putting in new stones. In other words, God's reprioritizing or lining up our priorities to be his priorities. No, wait. I think I said that the opposite way. Our priorities are to become God's priorities. That's what I mean to say. Does that make sense? Yep. And that's different than what we're functioning in now. For you, that's different for you. Yep. it's going to mean you're going to have to reprioritize as well as City Church as a whole. There's nothing worse to me than when someone's saying, oh, wow, worship really sucked today. I've heard people say that. Worship really sucked today. Are you a worshiper? Were you part of the worship? Is your voice the one you heard the loudest? Well, who are you complaining about? I say to people all the time, listen, if you don't think worship's what it should be, then change the way you worship. You can change the atmosphere around. You can change the atmosphere around your worship leader. People say, well, I've heard that in the past. Never with Kevin. But I've heard people say, you know, like worship didn't feel anointed. Were you worshiping? Come on, somebody.
Well, that's not my job.
Okay. So you're a consumer. You're not really a Christian. You're here to consume. You're here to get the blessing and then leave. That's not what a Christian does. Christian means to be Christ-like. Well, who was Jesus? He is the head of the body. He was integrated with the whole body of Christ. If you don't see yourself that way, okay, then look, just you're a consumer. You're not a Christian.
Well, you're calling me not a Christian? I accepted Jesus at a Billy Graham crusade. Bless God, glory to God, kingdom of God, hallelujah.
And that wasn't so good. I'll probably get emails over that one. Are you saying I'm not saved? No, but if Holy Spirit is, you better listen. Hey, can I say something to you? You're not saved till the end. Ooh. Y'all need to hear me on that. I just went up against some religious devils right there. You're not saved till the end. It's not the way you run the race. It's not the way you begin the race. It's the way you finish the race. You're not saved till the end. You say, well, brother, I accepted Jesus as Lord of my life. Well, good for you. So did I. But if you're not going to walk this thing out until the end of your days, you're in trouble. What does that mean? I don't know, but Jesus said, if you're not producing fruit, cut the branch off and throw it into the fire. You figure out what that means. But that doesn't sound fun. Listen, rather than seeing how little we can do, why not let's see how much we can do? Rather than implement the least amount of change in our life so we remain comfortable, why don't we throw our comfort on the altars of the kingdom of God and let that thing burn and ascend into the cloud of God and bring heaven down to earth like he called us to do. Oh, why is the preacher mad today? I'm not mad. I just got a mandate from heaven. You know what the Lord said to me? He said to me, the problem is they don't fear me. Now, that word didn't come to me directly from the Lord. It actually came to me from a prophet. I was on a phone call last week with a prophet, and the prophet said, listen to me. He said, the people of God are in trouble. They don't fear the Lord. We've been preaching this ooey-gooey, lovey-dovey kind of kumbaya, peanut butter and jelly kind of milk toast gospel that doesn't require any obedience and doesn't require any behavioral change. And listen, God isn't about controlling you in the sense of him, because he has an ego issue, controlling your life. No, he wants your highest and best. So he's going to want to bring you into that highest and best. I'm not going to go there. Nope. I just showed restraint. That was good. All right. Moses saw that the people were in bondage, and so he led them out of bondage. They followed the cloud to the river, but Moses couldn't lead them through the river because I don't think it began with him striking the rock instead of speaking to the rock. You understand that's what the scripture says, because he spoke to the rock, he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. He could not lead the people. And I believe that was the manifestation of his frustration, but I believe the origination of that frustration came because he didn't lead all the people up onto the mountain. When God said, I want to make you a nation of kings and priests, listen, there has been a mentality in the body of Christ that you sit there and consume and rely on anyone who is up here to do the heavy lifting in the spirit. That is a crock. If you don't do the heavy lifting in your life, you will not find the will of God in your life. If you don't do the spiritual lifting in your life, you're not going to be able to hear God like you're supposed to. If you don't step into the obedience of God that He wants for your life, listen, you can't be in alignment with His thinking. And if you're not in alignment with the way God thinks, do you understand? And I believe it's in Romans, it talks about the spirit of adoption. You know what I'm talking about? That the Romans understood, and it was in the Jewish culture as well, that they would, that the wealthy Jewish families would hire a teacher to bring up the kids in the way they should go, and they were called, the teacher was called the taskmaster, right? It was the teacher. It wasn't an evil term. And the taskmaster was charged with taking the kids from like age 13 to 18. After their bar mitzvah, they would become adults, but yet they weren't adults. You know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, just because someone flops over into 18 doesn't mean they're going to make reasonable decisions the rest of their life. I'm 57 and I've made some bad ones recently. Are you with me? All right. Yeah? Which ones? No. So, Kenny's like, yeah. Feeling that, baby. All right, let me preach about Kenny. No. So, listen. So just because you flop over into a certain age group doesn't make you mature. Are you with me? Maturity comes with intentionality. All right? So the taskmaster trains up the child in the thinking of the father, so that when the child becomes of age, that child will adopt the ways of the father, so the father can take the inheritance and give to the child and know that inheritance is going to go even further than what he went, because that child is trained up in the thinking of the father. Holy Spirit is tasking us with being trained up in the ways of the father, so that when the inheritance comes on us, when we are adopted, when God Himself, the Father, lays hands on us and says, you are, remember, that's what He did with Jesus. But remember, He did it twice. Do you remember that? First, when He went into the waters. Now, so let me finish this thinking and see if I can pull it all together. Moses brought the people to the Jordan, right, but couldn't cross over. Joshua, whose name it's the Hebrew version of the name Jesus. So Joshua is a type of Jesus. Takes them through the river and into the land of promise, where they fight the giants. We talked about this last week, right? You understand. How many of you have been fighting some giants this week? Let me see your hands. Of course you are. Why? Because you said you wanted to fight the giants. You said you wanted to deal with giants. God always takes you at your word. When you say you want to love, He'll put unlovely people in your life, so that you can learn how to love people you've never been able to love before, and that makes your love grow. Be careful what you ask for. Don't ask for patience. I'm just being spiritual, Pastor. I want to be so patient. Okay, you're going to have all hell come loose on you. And you're going to have everything happening to where you have no patience for anything. Why? Because you'll be at the end of you, and that means you have to access God for the things that you need. Are you with me? That's the way the kingdom works, by the way. All right, so the taskmaster, training up the child in the way he goes. Moses brings the people of Israel to the river. Joshua takes them across. Fast forward to the next season of the people of God. And you have John the Baptist, which is at the river, wooing the people down to the River Jordan. Same place. Are you with me? And he's wooing them to the place. Jesus comes, and look, John got them to the river, but Jesus just doesn't get them across the river. He gets them to carry the river with them. You say, well, I don't understand. Okay, all right. Revelation 22, verse 1. Then he showed me a river of the water of life. Say the water of life. Clear as crystal. It's clear. There's no confusion in it. If you're in a river that's confusing, it's not the river of God. Are you with me? Coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. Wait, what? Yeah. The street comes from the throne of God. In the middle of the street, that's what it says, right? In the middle of its street is the river of God. This is a pretty big street. So the river of God is flowing down the street of God. You say, well, how does a river flow down a street? It's in heaven. We're talking about the one who parted the sea. We're talking about the one who backed up the river when Joshua went across with the people of God. We don't need banks of a river to contain a river when you're God. Are you with me? When it's heaven, I think this, it's just like this gigantic tube, if you will, of water that all you got to do is stand in the street of God and right? That's what's going on here. Why? The point is that you there's no dry place. That everything, well, watch. I don't take my word for it. Let's look what it says. It says, it's coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of the street. On either side of the river, there was a tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. For the what? The healing of the nations. Which nation? All nations. So all healing is there for all nations. In other words, everything the nations needs is right there. In other words, for the man, woman of God that's standing in the middle of the street in front of the throne of God, the river of God pouring through you. Oh, by the way, that's enough. So you're standing in front of, and the river of God is, you're being completely inundated by the river of God. You're carrying with you everything all the nations need. Everyone on the planet, you're carrying it with you. It's yours. All you got to do is be in front of the river of God. All you have to do is be at the throne of God. Are you with me? And there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of light, nor lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord, the God which of the spirits of the prophets sent his angel to show his bondservants the things which must soon take place. Everyone say soon. Now, here's the question. The question is this speaking of what is available today, or is this speaking of what's to come in the sweet by and by when we meet in that beautiful place? Well, let me ask you something. If it's after the end of time, why do we need healing for nations? If it's in the time when there is no weeping, there is no crying, everything is perfect, then why is there healing needed? Because I would submit to you that this is not just, I mean, it's all available then as well, but may I submit to you that I believe this is available for whosoever will now. Are you with me? You say, well, brother, I just don't know that I don't know that I'm ready for that. Well, you're not. You're not. Neither am I. It's not about me being ready. It's not about you being ready. It's about us being yielded. God wants to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Isn't that what he said? Did he say every good thing is available for you? Now listen, if you want to put this in the future, you can. I could be wrong. I don't think I am. But I could be. But I would rather believe God for more than enough than there's not enough available. I would rather believe God that He has already positioned us and is waiting on us to yield to Him than somehow our desire to see God's healing now is greater than His desire to give it now. I don't see God as a God that withholds. Unless we're not capable of handling something and it would be destructive to us. That's the only time I ever see Him withhold. And He who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." Say all things. He said, "Write these words, faithful and true. It is done. It is done. It is done." That wasn't the first time those words were said. When were those words said before? It is done. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I'll be his God. He will be my son. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part will not be this. They won't receive from the river of life. They'll receive from the lake of fire, brimstone, which is the second death. Then one of the angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, came and spoke with me and said, "Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city coming down out of heaven from God. So now we see the bride coming out of heaven. That's not in the future, folks. This has been God's intention from the beginning. A Jerusalem coming down from heaven, having the glory of God, verse 11. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, and the stone of crystal clear jasper. It had great and high walls, 12 gates, and the gates of 12 angels. Names were written on them, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. 3 gates on east, 3 gates in the north, south, west, and the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones. And on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. How do you make a pearl? How is a pearl made? It's made in what kind of creature? Oysters. And what has to get inside the oyster? A grain of sand. Did you ever go swimming in the beach? Did you ever like where the waves? Did you ever play in the waves? And by the end of the day, what was going on? Man, you had sand in places sand is never supposed to be. Am I right? Are you with me? I hated that. I love being in the ocean. But But by the end of the day, and what did it do? It was irritating, wasn't it? Now think about that. That grain of sand gets in an oyster and begins to irritate the oyster. And what happens? A beautiful pearl emerges. The gates in the bride of Christ are made from something that began with irritation. May I submit to you that the irritations of your life are not for the purpose of making your life worse, but cause irritation so that the salve of God can come into your life and create something beautiful. And those will be the gates by which you come and go in the city of God. In other words, that's your entrance place to being seated with him in heavenly places. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God. Say the glory of God. What does that word glory mean? It literally means, it's the word doxa. And it literally means the manifestation of the opinion of God. The nations will walk by its light. The nations, everyone say nations. It doesn't just say Israel. The nations will walk by its light. How will the nations walk by the light of God? How can there be light if someone doesn't carry that light? And the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it in the daytime, for there's no night. Its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Nothing unclean. And no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know what this is? This is a prophetic this is more than a prophecy. This is God saying his intention. This is my glory. My glory is that my people become so powerful. My glory is that my people become so capable. My glory is that my people become who I've created them to be, so that they can go out into the nations and bring the nations to bow their knee before Jesus himself. And their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the nations then receive the rule of God and the glory of God so that they can come and put their crowns down at the feet of Jesus. That's who you are. And every good thing is available to you. There's only one thing stopping you. You. Just you. Don't be a victim. I can't stand when people are victims. You don't understand, Pastor. I can't read. I can't read, and so I can't read the Word of God. Stop it. One of my spiritual sons came to me and he said, "Pops, I can't read." I said, "Listen to me. You start reading the Word of God. If you need to, I'll sit with you and I'll help you. You start reading the Word of God." I'm telling you, it wasn't long after that he came to me and said, "You know, I've never read a whole book in my life. I just completed my first whole book." Come on, somebody. Please don't give me your excuses. Your God is greater than your excuses. He's greater than the... Look, those sources of irritation are for the purpose of you coming in and going out in the kingdom of God. That's what they're for. Every time you come in and go out, another layer goes over that grain of sand, and it becomes smoother and smoother and smoother till it's no longer a source of irritation. But time to spit that one out for others to enjoy. And you can become the gate for others to enjoy the kingdom of God in the land of the living. Are you with me? Stand up as we close. I'm not supposed to do this, but I couldn't see the clock. I went long today. Oof. Yep. Thank you, Lord. Yep. Lift your hands up to God. I got a long closing for you. Father, bless them, keep them, make your face to shine on them, lift up your countenance on them now and give them your peace and grace. Lord, help us to stand before your throne. In the street of God and the river pour through us. Transform us so that we can transform the nations. That's who these people are, Lord God. I thank you for them. In Jesus' mighty name, City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week. Hey, if someone's here and you need healing, then come up. We got people that are here to pray for you. I'll be up here to pray for you. Go and be blessed.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church Podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.